All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you may or may not know, many games take on popular naming conventions.
Okay. Can you clarify?
Like a game will be like Matt Hazard, you know, and it's like a cool American name. It's like, hey, this is about Matt Hazard.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Max Power, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got us, subscribed to a club that sends you a phone book from a different part of the world every month. And this month we got Ireland, and I'm going to flip through it and see if we get a game.
Ooh,
these names.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will turn on the microphone on the game computer and let's see.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just flip through the phone book here. I know we've done books before, but not phone books. I'm sure we've done phone books actually.
Yeah. It's an inevitability.
Let me flip here real quick. Okay. We got Shaughnessy. I can't read that.
Yeah, it's a Gaelic. Seven consonants in a row. Although that might be a description of Welsh. Gary, I'm a little bit out of my depth here.
I'm not sure. Well, let me flip through here.
It's very funny.
The O section is huge.
I mean it's the whole book. This is like the O appendix. Yeah.
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 So let me flip through. Here we got Oh Magic.
Okay.
Kingdom O Magic.
Oh wait, it's beeping. Okay. Yeah, Kingdom O Magic. Yep. That's a game. I started trying, but it is a game.
Nope.
I started trying to do something with O Magic Johnson, but I could not.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh, he did provide a lot of O Magic. Is my understanding.
Yeah.
You know, with his legendary hog. Isn't that Magic Johnson, the guy who had tons of boning?
So Magic Johnson is the one who famously contracted HIV.
Am I getting confused with somebody else?
You're thinking of Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, no.
the man who slept with 20,000 women, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I mixed them up. I wasn't trying to conflate AIDS with sexual promiscuity.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. I apologize. I just got two famous basketball players mixed up.
Yeah.
Legendary basketball knower Gary Butterfield. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Welcome to Abject Suffering, where you cannot kill us in any way that matters.
I like that. That's good.
That's a good one. I actually scrolled down to the bottom just to make sure I was getting new ones,
mm-hmm.
since they randomize them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like that one a lot.
Nice. And this week we're talking about a point-and-click adventure game called Kingdom O Magic. This was demanded by our Patreon backer Zumbini, says, I played 5 minutes of this when I was a kid and stopped because even my young 13-year-old brain realized that this was an awful piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Zumbini, Slack stalwart.
Yeah. I felt bad when we did that episode about the Zumbinis because they had picked that name, like, you know, just like that was just the name that they came in with. And so I just kind of worried that every time we mentioned that person was getting pinged every single time, which would have been annoying.
Well, they pinged if they have, you mean on the Slack?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to have alerts set up for your name for that. Like we weren't talking about the at Zumbinis.
Yep.
We weren't talking about their Twitter handle. Like right. Having an alert set up for your name in Slack, I think is generally a bad idea.
Okay.
It's weird. It's like you can't. Yeah, because people can't mention you without you being there.
Huh.
And sometimes people want to talk about you without inviting you into the conversation.
Hmm.
You know, like they just want to be like, hey, Gary did something and I don't need to see that. They are not being summoned. Like, let them choose when to summon me.
Yeah. You yeah. know? I thought it came by default. Like maybe I set it up like again, 6 years ago when we started the Slack channel, maybe I set it up and it's always been the case. Yeah, that's why I always refer to you as G if I do not intend to bring you into the conversation.
I do the same thing. I refer to you as K, but I can't make everybody else do that.
No.
You know, But it's the idea, like, I don't have alert. If somebody says Gary, it doesn't alert me.
Gotcha.
They do at Gary Butterfield on the Slack. I think that's generally like Slack alerts. Like, I have them set up for slurs in case somebody decides to go like
go ham
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, like, sometimes people do them for games and stuff. I don't understand that either. Like,
no.
Because, like, you know, two people are talking about a game you want to talk about.
No,
it's
not
going to be great
to Kramer
man
into
yourself into the.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to Kramer into stuff. Like, let people choose when. It's the same reason why, like, you don't name search on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let people choose when they want to bring you into stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, you'll be happier. Like, it's best not to know sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been like 2 years since I name searched on Twitter.
I used to do it every once in a while, and it was not great.
And, you know, yeah,
it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, never came to any good.
Yeah, like I will put my hand on the stove sometimes from time to time, but I can say like concretely I've gotten better about it.
Yeah,
like, you know, so I'm happy about that. Used to like Google Twitter search like the names of the shows like daily.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
I was very thirsty for.
I wanted validation. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What are people saying about this? And oftentimes it'd be nice, but I didn't really realize that, like, the immutable factor of Gary is that I will never feel good
right
about people saying good things about the show. Mm-hmm. That's not in the possibility space.
No,
so
no.
All I was opening myself up to was nothing or bad.
Yeah. Like the
and that's like Pascal's reverse wager. Like, it's real bad.
Yeah. This you know? Machine pointing at my head, it only ratchets one way. Like, it only ratchets toward bad. Like, positive does not actually move anything back toward the good side.
Yeah.
Which is healthy.
Yeah, just
and is a good way to live.
It's not my favorite thing about myself. No. it's extremely bad, but it is just the case, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at this point, it's not good for me to know what people are saying about me. And that's not to be mean or discourage anybody who's ever said anything nice. Like, I do appreciate that intellectually. It just doesn't touch my heart because I have a broken, sad, pathetic, like, little, you know, scum brain, like a dish sponge that was left in an apartment after the people moved. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's that kind of steez.
Yeah. So this is Zumbini's Demand, which is an amazing series of Choose Your Own Adventure books. This is Kingdom O' Magic. I had never heard about this. And
Zumbini's Demand as a Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Yeah.
That was good. Cool. Like, you really snuck that in there, but I like Zumbini's promise, Zumbini's prophecy.
Yeah. The Zumbini edict.
Yeah. Just, like, there's just a picture of like a very serious Zumbini at a board table on the front boardroom table.
Yep. So,
I like no. that.
I'm getting some like, so I do not care for this. I think this is a bad adventure game. You can tell like right from the start. And we can talk about like the ways that this illustrates what a good adventure game ought to do as a negative example. But I imagine because we didn't get, you know, I didn't get very far in this, I'm gonna get real hung up on the aesthetics of this. This has really big pissed energy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real ugly. The ugliness and unpleasantness is actually what stopped me from engaging with it further at all.
Yeah.
Like, the idea, like, you know, one of my favorite It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episodes is the one where they go on Family Feud. and how Dennis reacts to the buzzer.
Uh-huh.
That's me to the sound of you have a highlightable object.
Yep.
In this, that like electric sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really unpleasant whenever you hover over anything.
Yep.
that's real loud. Can we just not
can we just not hit that?
He's on the ground and they just keep hammering it at him.
Yeah.
Like, he's like in the fetal position.
Yeah, it's like the budget for him. It's not Jackie Chan or the buzzer.
It's not Jackie Chan. We've done things that aren't Jackie Chan.
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And also, like, I don't know if this if it worked this way for you. I could play and get around this because I'm not photosensitive. But like, whenever I was in dialogue or when I was in like the little examine a person screen to see their profile or whatever, basically any black background was flashing black and white the entire time. Yeah. It was just strobing. And yeah, like this was. You know, just like that was just a product of running this on a system that is not intended to run a game from the DOS era, especially one as like AV heavy as this. Yeah, just kind of like put a low level of discomfort over everything.
Yeah, it doesn't whatever this was for, You know, it wasn't stewarded into the modern age.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of surprised that, like, this, you know, you could play this at all. This feels like real big Relic energy. Like, how did we even hear of this? You know, I mean, Zumini, but I would never have heard. I would have died without knowing about this.
Right, right. It kind of seems like something you would have had to have, like, had an uncle installed and, like, hey, look at this. Because, like, this is a comedy game, but it is extremely dated and also not a good game. It is neither funny nor is it a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am sad about the person who made this is the guy who wrote a book that I have some affection for called Board of the Rings.
Okay.
A National Lampoon parody of Lord of the Rings that I read at the right time.
Yes.
You know, just like something making fun of Lord of the Rings, like a really broad parody. You know, it was like one of the first things I read that I remember being explicitly kind of like fourth wall breaking. Self-aware, like characters would talk about what page they would die on.
Yeah, you know.
And it was very like I'd never seen anything like that, so that was really fun to me.
Yeah,
so like I have a lot of affection for that book, and this is that guy trying to do basically that version of
so
that kind of goofiness.
There's a little bit more of a connection or like a disconnect there, so you don't need to feel very bad. Fergus McNeil, the main designer of this, did not write Board of the Rings. That was actually written by the author was Henry Beard and Douglas Kenny. The game designer had worked on a game inspired by Board of the Rings. Yeah. But it was not actually like based on it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Even though people do like that text adventure, apparently. It has good reviews.
Yeah. I've never read Board of the Rings, you know, and things kind of conspired to at the age when I would have been most apt to sit down and read Lord of the Rings. Like that's when the movies started coming out. And so ceased to be like a thing, but like any comedy based around Lord of the Rings is kind of like comedy based around like Star Wars, which is, it had this heyday in the late 80s and mid 90s. You know, for Star Wars or whatever, but like after a thing had become obscure enough that only like real nerds got into it, like you could get a lot of attention and get a lot of mileage out of just having comedy that was like, hey, do you remember this thing? Right.
Yeah.
Before it came back and became the entirety of all culture or the entirety of like all of one particular genre. Right.
I don't want to, we definitely don't need to digress into this, but talking about this just unlocked something for me.
Okay.
Which was Star Wrecked, which was the Star Trek parody novels that I read around the same time.
Okay.
And I just hadn't thought about them in, you know, 28 years. And now I'm like, just Google and search them and just saw the cover. And I just like had one of those like increasingly valuable to me time travel moments.
Right. Right.
Like all I seek now in life is to be like, ugh. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, I was 13 once.
There was like, time. There was time.
There was time. There used to be time. So now I'm going to have to like hunt these down just to like hold them in my hands and read them again.
Yeah. I had a similar thing happen to me like a couple days ago when I thought about and was reminded of like a knockoff, you know, children's horror book series. It was a knockoff of Goosebumps. It was called Strange Matter. But like all of the stories were actually like darker, like people could die, you know, or get transformed or have like fate worse than death kind of stuff happen. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember those. Like you can't get a hold of them now, but like there is documentation about them online. And so I had a lot of fun, like going and looking at like plot synopses and stuff.
Yeah.
No, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind to this stuff. I'm going to go on eBay like immediately after this and see if this is cheap.
Yeah, this is new, like remember when we did the game books episode and I like fell into the Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I spent the last like month almost exclusively reading second edition Shadowrun modules, so like it's nothing's new about it. I'm just I went and I downloaded a torrent of the entirety of that hidden website.
Oh yeah
so I now have Jesus. The history of tabletop gaming on
is that a thing
drive.
Is that really
yeah
okay
yeah brother
Yeah, we hooked me up, man.
This is now where we discuss illegal activities on this show. Yep. This is like the worst season of The Wire.
Nobody's going to listen to this shit, don't worry.
Yeah. Hey, Bunk, you got a torrent for me?
Oh, geez. But yeah, so this is operating on an especially kind of like broad, you know, what feels like a very British kind of sense of humor. But like, you know, at the level of, you know, you do the good old fashioned traditional quest where you're, you know, your narrator, who looks kind of like Wallace from Wallace and Gromit, except done in very bad CGI, says you have to rescue the dragon, steal the princess and kill the treasure. Now, that's funny. Because those are mixed up. You would normally want to rescue the princess, steal the treasure and kill the dragon. But they do things just a little bit twisted.
I had the feeling of this one where I was like, didn't we just do this because we just did that dragon?
Oh yeah. Blazing Dragons. Yeah.
And there's a version of that that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said Terry Pratchett. No, you mean Terry Jones. Terry Pratchett does it good. Superman does good. Terry Pratchett does it well.
It does well. Yeah, there is a good version of this kind of humor for sure. Mm-hmm. This is just too ugly for me. Like that CGI Donkey Kong Country esque like Uncanny Valley thing that this lives in is just too hideous.
Well, I mean,
the intro to this where it's showing the village like is unspeakably hideous.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it would have been impressive in 1996 to like fire this up and look at that. I have definitely like at that time, I definitely went gaga for worse things. When we first got the Sega Saturn, which was like the first 32-bit system we had, and then just over and over watching the opening, like the intro video to Madden 97. Which started with like a 3D like Super Bowl ring hovering above the gridiron, you know, like like there was definitely like room for this. Nowadays, though, especially like the mouth flaps that are basically the way they animate humanoids talking is, you know, just it's an entirely still image, but then a very over animated mouth that is just moving like rhythmically. It kind of feels a little bit like when Conan would do the mouth thing on the TV.
It feels like the
thumbs, those weird little thumb videos where the mouth is just superimposed on. It's just not good. Just very unseemly.
Orange. Yeah. 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 Or like that bank. That scary cube bank that eats your coins.
What?
The other thing this thing does is it cuts to black and white stock footage of real people from time to time.
Yeah.
That's very jarring. Like, I don't know. This was really annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt pretty like bad. I had, similar to Blazing Dragons, I had that feeling where like maybe if I had played this when it came out, I could have like, you know, I probably would have dug this. Like I mm-hmm. beat and played the Xanth adventure game from Legend, which is something I've wanted to do for the show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll probably just replay the whole thing because for nostalgia, mm-hmm. and then vaguely defend it while you complain about it because it's rightly a bad game. You know, it's kind of my expectation for that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It is too ugly, and that's rarely. The text is too big. Like the resolution is too bad. Like a mm-hmm. lot of my problems are technical and aesthetic, which is not often the case
mm-hmm.
For this kind of thing for me. So
yeah,
fuck this game.
Well, I mean, like, honestly. So you know, when I talk about like how this is very evidently a bad adventure game, like you select one of these three scenarios and you know, okay, cool. But, like that's not something I've seen in an adventure game where they've got like a bunch of different things in one, but you know, so I selected the good old fashioned traditional quest. I played as Thidney the Lizard Bloke, but only because I could not choose Sha-Ron the Girly.
It's a lot of tit jokes in Sha-Ron, is my understanding. Yeah. Like she's a parody of Laura Croft, mm-hmm. And a lot of people comment on her tits.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, sorry, I was confused about exactly which tits.
I wasn't finished.
Yes, it was the tit.
Yeah, her titsies. Yes.
Reclaiming my time. Yeah. Titties.
Yeah. I'm glad you broke the reclaiming my time.
Yeah.
Barrier, because I wanted to make a joke about that. Just when somebody cuts me off and I'm saying something incredibly stupid, I wanted to say that and I haven't done it. I do think we can do it now.
Okay. Cool. Really funny. Cool. All right. You could have just, like, I don't know, when we record, it's mostly just me trying to make you laugh and everybody else is incidentally, you know, involved in this. You could have just said reclaiming my time. Like, I don't know why you had to wait for that.
No, I just meant I felt like I couldn't. It's like, you know, like there's certain, like, you know, I just didn't want to joke about it because I didn't want somebody to yell at me.
Okay.
Is what I meant. You know, it's like how I don't want to say, like, I don't care how hot they are. I don't want to watch the new Gadsby special.
Okay.
Hannah Gadsby special. Like, I think it's kind of funny in my head, but I don't want to say it because somebody yelled at me.
Right. Yeah.
Because
you don't want to be simped or canceled or cringed.
Yeah. I don't want a word applied to me.
The worst. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No, but when you're talking about this, reclaiming my time, titties, regardless of which, you know, which of these you get. So I selected the good old fashioned traditional quest. Fine. And then it just drops you into a tavern and away you go. Yeah. I've got a vague idea, but there's no, like, as you're walking into town as Guybrush Threepwood, you inevitably, you know, stumble, you know, like the first thing that you see is the bar where the pirates are, and they talk to you and give you your, and give you the thing that you're supposed to do. Right. So in this, I have no idea if I actually, like, found any kind of path. It was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to pick a direction and walk and see what I can get.
And it's a big game too.
Yeah.
Like I like putting on a video of it, like the, you know, this first quest with him is like 3.5 hours.
Jesus.
For the long play. Your inventory is a nightmare. Like you have conservatively like 4 dozen inventory objects. It is just, it looks really, really confusing.
Yeah. But like, you know, a game doesn't necessarily need to, keep push you along the entire way or drag you through, but like at the very least, right at the start, you should get like a rundown of the things that you are working toward. Right.
Yeah. It's not good. In that respect at all.
Yeah.
I just talked to the innkeeper for a while and then I walked next door to a wig shop and talked to that guy for a while.
Well, I mean, I made that guy's day a living hell. I totally just ripped into him. Then I talked to
you're very rude in this.
Yes. It's funny. You see, when you walk into a wig shop and talk to the person and make fun of them for wearing a wig. That's funny, Gary.
And he's German for some reason.
Yes. He threatens you. He says, "I am so angry that I will make you listen to Oompa music." And then it does a scene cut because of too much Oompa music. And then that's the end of the interaction.
And he says, mine hair.
Yes.
So that's the kind of level of humor.
Right.
We're going with on this bad boy.
You know, a time in my life, I probably would have been down for it, especially like anything that, you know, they really love to hit on the fourth wall breaking kind of thing where it's like,
yes.
Yeah. You know, are you sure you want to send me indoors? Because I'm going to be here much later on and I will give you a necessary item to proceed. Like just talking about themselves as if they were an adventure game, which is a trick. You know,
and I thought that's why I thought maybe it was the same guy who wrote Board of the Rings because they had that wall breaking stuff about its medium. But like, if you think a dwarf on rollerblades is hilarious, like this is your game.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, like, congratulations, you passed the test.
Yeah, like,
You know, that's basically it.
I'm both disappointed but also kind of happy that I didn't run into. I could not get into the castle to sing or to see King Afro the Righteous.
Yeah, that seems like that wouldn't have been handled.
I don't think that they would have done that great, actually.
Yeah. Did you notice that this game is developed by a company called Sales Curve Interactive?
It was the only thing I noticed, Gary.
It's a really funny name for a business. Though.
It's very good.
Sales Curve Interactive.
Yep. Yeah. No. I mean, it sounds like a company I would have made a video for when I was working at that agency.
Yeah. It sounds very Tim and Eric to me.
Yep.
Like, control the sales curve, be interactive, control the sales curve, be interactive, be provocative.
Just
be
repeat organized. It over and over. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm probably being provocative, but I love being organized.
Well, but you can organize your provocation.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Square Enix decided they need these guys.
Yeah. No, so Eidos had acquired these people, and then Square Enix, when they bought it up, they're like, all right, here we go, we've got all these properties.
Yep. So looking forward to a new game from Sales Curve Interactive.
Yep.
Coming out.
Yeah. I'm looking at this. They were active at least as recent as 2005. Oh, they made like Conflict Vietnam. Yeah, this is the kind of shit they were doing. Gotcha. And they did like they did development on like extra content for Carmageddon.
I see.
Cool. Oh, they also did the Lawnmower Man game. There we go. Yeah.
Well, there's a good joke in this where the evil wizard's tower is the tower from the Lawnmower Man game, which I think is funny. Cool. And they're just like, yeah, we had to reuse the asset. I actually think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Just the Lawnmower Man tower in the middle of this Kingdom O' Magic.
Yeah. yep.
Yeah. Nothing too special.
No.
Go on here. It is calibrated for people with red hair. It says in the manual.
Is it?
I thought maybe you'd be like into it. Yeah. So as a redheaded fella.
What is that joke? Why is that a joke?
You know, Cole. Sometimes you got to get random.
It.
You just got to say a thing and it's like, it's cheeky.
It's cheeky because not many people have red hair. You see. Yeah.
This coming right on the heels of Little Britain is doing more. Like, we need to play a funny British game. Soon.
Yeah.
Between like Rockstar Ate My Hamster, Little Britain, and this,
mm-hmm.
like the British sense of like, make a Fleabag game now. Like, I immediately need funny.
Yeah.
I need an emergency CC of funny British humor to rescue the reputation. Like, right now. Yeah.
Justify the existence of your island culturally to me, please. Yeah.
Give me a Peep Show game now. You know, I need a Garth Marenghi's Dark Corridors dungeon sim.
Oh, man. Be Still My Heart. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Give me anything Garth Marenghi in games.
Yeah. More Garth Marenghi, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But this is not good. To get this was very difficult to find. And I found like one site. Do you want to know how many days I had to leave that browser window open to download it because it was so throttled?
How many?
3 days, Gary.
That's quite a lot.
to download 800 megabytes. Yeah.
Did you get it from old-games.com?
Yes.
I love the banner.
Mm-hmm.
For that website, I have it open right now, and it just says old-games.com, and then on either side is like a naked woman with a Tommy gun,
yeah,
like on a confusing mud flap.
Yep, yeah, just a silhouette of a silhouette of a lady holding an M16. Yeah,
yeah, pretty cool. Hell yeah, old games, lock and load.
They value what I value.
Yeah. This is gonna make me get lost in an old-games.com hole, though. Look at all this shit.
I'm pretty happy that I found it there because they had actually like bundled it up, so I didn't have to like make DOSBox work with it.
Yeah.
There was just like a little like script you could run that was like play the game, and that ended up working out just fine.
Yeah, I like the strategy section has a game here called 3D Pumpkin Puzzles, which is about like putting together shattered jack-o'-lanterns.
Cool.
Unsmashing pumpkins.
Not smiling politely.
Not smiling politely. Accordion. A solitaire game.
Huh.
It's a broad definition of strategy.
Yes.
We've talked about Home of the Underdogs on here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That is a really... That website's still up. Mm-hmm. And I have it bookmarked, and it is incredibly fun to browse around. It hasn't changed.
Yep.
At all, other than having a banner for Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Which I should support these guys on Patreon. Like, I've gotten a lot out of Home of the Underdogs.
Yeah.
I'm like, way into these underdogs, dude.
Even though it doesn't provide a, you know, like actual downloads now, like they, you know, lawsuits and stuff stopped them from, you know, from doing that. It still serves as a good like directory, and like they link off site. Like, usually this is a place where I will go. Mm-hmm. when I'm looking for stuff to get.
Yeah, it's kind of like a miniature version of Hardcore Gaming 101.
Yes.
Which is, of course, like also
mm-hmm.
a miracle.
Yes.
You know, miracle websites.
God, the Home of the Underdog, their actual header banner mm-hmm. has a quote of the day on here.
Yes.
I remember programming one of those things onto like my Angel Fire website. Like, I found like a little snippet of code you could bring in. Today's quote, "I have no methods. All I do is accept people as they are." Joan Rivers.
Yeah. Thank you, Joan.
Cool. Thanks, Joan. Yeah.
Thanks, Home of the Underdogs. So good. I love reading things like Demise, Rise of the Kutan from IPC Software. Like, this shit is, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm remembering things. Yeah. Oh, it feels so good.
God. Yeah. Have you ever heard of like Reminisce or like Good Old Days magazine?
Yeah, I used to get those from my grandpa.
Mm.
Those are really he fucking loved them.
No.
I you know how like sometimes you can do there's that Onion article where it's like mom brought to tears from gift bought at airport gift shop.
Yep.
Like and you'll do those like I had one absolute superstar Christmas where I felt like I didn't do that good a job, but I brought my mom and my grandpa to tears.
Oh.
By getting my mom a digital picture frame with a bunch of pictures of me in it.
Yeah.
And then my grandpa a couple copies of Reminisce magazine and then a CD I had burned of old music from Fallout games.
Okay.
That he liked, and that so was
it,
and
it just, was literally just songs from the 40s that he would have recognized.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he did, you know, he just it was just like a weapons grade good gift.
Nice.
To both of them. But yeah, Reminisce magazine's wild.
Yeah.
So many things begin with remember. Mm-hmm. It's like the most common word in that magazine. It's more than the. Just remember this and it'll show like a hard candy or like a penny whistle or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about the, you know, maybe I tweeted about this. I've got no idea. But we have that now for us and we're not even like octogenarians. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, I get alerts like in my Apple News, I see like, here's 27 great performances from 90s movies. And I'm like, haha, those were great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And I don't think it's bad.
I haven't gotten to that level yet. I've been still primary sources, you know, again, just rereading old tabletop magazines and stuff like that. But I will get to that point at some point. Nostalgia, as much as it is a poison, like it's also a poison that I like to drink.
And also, you know, the dose makes the poison. And also you're not weaponizing nostalgia to like exclude people or whatever. Like
there's a bad way to use it. Yeah. It's okay for me to like be at the end of the day and be like, I have no energy for new art. Yeah. I'm just going to read, you know, the Bug City.
Yeah, I'm just going to lay down and read all of the TV Tropes articles for the Dragon Riders of Pern.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Like that. I don't find that like particularly troublesome. I don't think it's great. I think that there's probably an argument to be made for staying more up to date, you know, and like maintaining your presence in the time stream in terms of like being contemporary.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I don't know that I have the strength for it, at least right now.
Contemporize, yeah. Man. Yeah.
I can't contemporize right now.
Nope.
I'm stuck in the past.
Requires a lot of energy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's someday, you know, perhaps I will join people in the future listening to brand new kinds of music and like, you know, someday I'll learn who Billie Eilish is. I'm not there.
I listened to a Billie Eilish song, like, and maybe I saw her like perform it or something. It sounded like a ghost moaning along to like the ghost of a drum machine. It was like this sounds like a stereotypical, like old man kind of thing to say. It didn't feel like it had the necessary elements to be a recorded song.
That is an extremely old man thing to say. And there will be people who are going to at you about this, Cole, but I want to say that I stand by you because I also end up feeling the same way.
Yeah. So yeah.
If you at my brother, you at me as well. I'm the WE.
So, okay. Like that is not my final, that is not my final read on her because that is a, you know, that I am only hearing one thing. It might've been the song where she was like, this is where I am a ghost moaning along to the ghost of drum machines. And there might be something else. I've not read lyrics. I've not like heard an album cut or anything. I am literally just talking about the time that I saw her perform. And I was like, huh? Okay, cool. Yeah. And
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
There's a very real aspect of people where I think our brains are not meant to contain as much as we have to.
Yep.
In terms of art and kind of pop culture now. And it's good to have that really wide breath, but I don't think that like, really built for it. You know, there's something it is something you can fight against. It's not something that is a virtue, but it is a universal enough experience where like, again, there's that Onion thing where it's like man's lifelong affair with music ends at 38, you know, and it's like, you know, just, oh, I looked at the Pitchfork top 20 albums this year and I have no idea what any of them are.
Yeah.
It's such a universal experience that I think like it doesn't have to happen. You can resist it if you do bully. But it's not, it's common. It's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can fight it if you want to, but just don't feel bad for having it apply to you because it's applies to everybody.
Yeah.
I think,
You know, it's something that comes for all of us, you know, and you know, that shortly after it comes for us also comes people making fun of us for being out of touch.
Yeah.
What I'm pointedly not doing is saying whatever she does is not music. I'm not taking that hard of a stance at it.
No. It's just not for me. Like, yeah. That's the difference. That's how you turn into a shithead about this, as you go on there and you get real mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like the music that was for me is still excellent.
Yeah.
It's great. I still listen to it.
It's yeah.
And I get into my, you know, my one new band a year. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And that's good. You know, nothing is being taken from me.
Right. Right.
Like Billie Eilish doesn't bug me by any means. Like, I'm sure she's great. Yeah. I just don't, you know, it just doesn't, it's not my type of music, man.
I do worry about my ability to speak about culture when I try to think of, okay, what is a current band? And I say, oh, like Fun. You remember the band Fun? Yeah.
Hey guys, Owl City. You know,
like,
yeah.
Like, okay, welcome to 2013, old man.
Like, yeah.
I need to like update my references so I know if I'm firing something off of the hip, I don't accidentally say, what's this Alan Parsons project all about?
You just gotta lean into it.
Yeah.
I think that resisting that can make you like, you can just kind of have like one token new band, and updating that, like having once a year where you check in.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be like, oh yeah, this year it's no longer, you know,
yeah,
triple X tenation,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. It's, you know, and that would be exhausting to me.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna lean into it. I'm gonna be like, yeah, this brand new band, you know, Teenage Kicks, or whatever they're called.
You mean Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks?
Yeah, Foster the People, or like, oh, it's Owl City, or it's you know, it's Gegita,
you know?
Something like that. Like,
Jesus.
I'm gonna have my peace with the fact that I lived during a certain time and was more clued into things like that at a certain time.
Yeah, yeah.
And not close myself off to new things. But like, one of the things I think about too is that like, having pure access to all the world's art.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it making I don't know if people are meant to be as quite as renaissance in terms of interest, because I am like fairly cognizant on new games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not you know, trawling itch.io for like experimental things like that, but
right,
I'm relatively
right.
I do keep up with games. Like, I know,
yeah,
you know, I could name just like a new game,
mm-hmm,
like easily, you know. And movies, yeah,
oh,
I could,
yeah,
also,
yeah,
pretty much do that. TV, no. Music, no.
Right.
Can't do that. But like, two out of four is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it could be worse.
But it's still like, you know, two whole broad categories. It's two whole industries that you're pretty plugged into.
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess books I'm not in either. So it's really 2 out of 5, but
right.
It's, you know, so every once in a while I'm keyed into a new book people are talking about, but it's, everything is just too fucking big.
Yep.
You know, and what I can do is go to sleep at 9:30, because the earlier I go to sleep, the less time I'm awake, and take a new concoction I like to call the slow ball, which is a weed gummy with you chase with some ZQL.
Okay.
And boy, brother, if you want to go into a deep dreamless sleep for, you know, 9 hours or so, that's your ticket.
I've attempted to do something like that. I've done like CBD oil and Benadryl. My problem with that though is it is not a deep dreamless sleep for 7 or 8 hours. What that results is me waking up feeling completely rested at 2 a.m. and then I'm fucked.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's not a great place to be in.
Yeah,
try CBD oil doesn't work. You got to try yourself a one-to-one. Get yourself a Marion Berry Wild gummy,
yeah,
and some ZQL and see what happens.
What I need to do is I just need to get my medical card here for Ohio. They're like web. Yeah. They're so like, what I don't want to do is, you know, go to like a web, you know, just basically like a card mill, you know, just,
yeah,
say like, yeah, I've got a, you know, an inflammatory bowel thing going on, whatever, which is true. And then get that, but then like go to my actual doctor and they got word of it. And then like, okay, we can't give you this other medicine that you really need right now. And then they cut me off of my anti-anxiety medicine.
Oh.
I have no idea.
Why
like
did that happen?
I don't know how much those systems talk to each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, why do you have to go through a mill? Why couldn't you just talk to your doctor and be like, hey, I've got this thing and I think this would help me sleep and stuff.
I don't know that'll do it. I think you might be a little bit too, old fashioned.
A little too straight laced.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yep.
That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. So We'll see. Yeah.
Gary, I, for the audience, recommending the slow ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you are having a hard time sleeping or want to sleep in a more neutral, way. Like, I still have dreams sometimes, but I don't often remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And, it does put me into a absolutely not a care in the world state before I fall asleep, which I need to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many cares.
There's so many, ambient cares running around. Yeah.
You go to sleep to the sound of helicopters suppressing human rights every night for like 2 months and see if you need, something helping you sleep. Like, every single morning waking up absolutely terrified of the upcoming rent riots. It is, I need this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And if I want to read Shadowrun source books as I drift off, instead of like keeping up with the Pitchfork 200, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Do you have a way to get out of the city?
Oh, like, you mean if things got real bad?
Yeah. Like, if the actual feds started making it intolerable to be there, do you have a way to get out?
No, I don't know how I'd do that. I could get on, I could take a lift, which is weird, I could flee in a lift. Oh. I could get on a train. There's a train that goes south enough to get to Milwaukee, which is a suburb.
Okay.
Of things. And then from there, I think it'd be relatively easy. Like, no one's paying attention to Milwaukee.
What's the name of the suburb that's to the north of the river there that always messes with
Vancouver?
Me? Yeah. So you have Vancouver to the north of you and Milwaukee to the south.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with Portland? To the north
of us.
Okay. Yeah.
It's because you can go to Vancouver, British Columbia pretty easily too from up there. We're going to move. And one of the things we're looking at in location is moving a little bit further out away from downtown.
Yeah.
Also, my understanding is the feds are now gone.
But it's state police now. Violating.
Yeah. Cool. State police violating our human rights. So
yeah. It's a state constitution crisis, not a constitution crisis.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I'm not super worried about it. I just don't like, it just makes me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything's going to happen to me. I'm just, I don't like thinking about getting black bagged or whatever. I try not to go out too much at night, not because I think protesters will fuck with me, but I don't want a cop to think I just came to a protest and then, violate my human rights.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be terrible if that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exceedingly scary shit.
Yeah.
I don't have a way specifically to get out of town, but when we move, Emma might buy a car. She's kind of going back and forth. So then we will have an easy way to get out of the city.
Yes. So. Yeah. Now I've got an uncle who lives out in Amish country. So just an hour drive and you are completely secluded, basically.
I got a friend who went and like lives out in property they bought. Like, it's a mutual acquaintance. I don't want to oust them, but you've seen this person, if you follow them on Twitter and stuff, went and got a place like out in the middle of nowhere and like literally from this kind of shit decided like, I'm going to be like, basically, have a gun and live out in the country, basically went off the grid. It is a tempting thing. Like, just ride out this shit.
No, I can't say that I don't understand that instinct. I've thought about running and hiding among the Amish. Like, I get it.
Grow a big beard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be like, what's that that novel about the Amish that like when Jodie Foster goes and hangs out with the Amish after she murdered somebody?
I don't know,
or something like that. There's a '90s movie that's something like that.
Oh no, you're thinking of for Richer or Poorer.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
Are you thinking of Kingpin?
No, definitely not thinking of Kingpin.
Okay.
Where the premiere movie that introduced me to the idea of cunnilingus is Rent.
I think Kingpin's really funny. I like that movie.
I haven't seen it in a really long time. I just remember the cunnilingus is Rent. Just Woody Harrelson having to snatch Beeve to like pay off his rent.
I don't know that I have anything out there. There's
what do
not.
You think what do you think it's like to go down on Ursula?
Ursula,
the sea witch.
Well, I'd have trouble which of the tentacles is it between?
Yeah, exactly. Is it like a roulette?
Yeah.
Is it cool because there's lots of options, or is it scary because of octopus reasons?
I need to know. Is there a beak?
Yeah. And is there a beak and?
Right,
like lady parts.
Huh.
Is it both?
Hmm.
It's like vagina beat Tata. Yeah, it's just very interesting. I think it would be very interesting to perform Cunnilingus on Ursula.
What made you pull Ursula the Sea Witch, bud?
Oh, I was just thinking of interesting vaginas to cunnilingulate in exchange for rent. And if I lived under the sea, I would, that'd be perhaps a landlord for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She is royalty.
I don't know. I'm tired.
I'm tired. Helicopters.
Yeah, there's helicopters, man. I take a slow ball every night. I wake up groggy. I'm losing brain cells from my special mix. I was just thinking about that'd be very unusual. Because mm-hmm. if there was a vagina between each set of legs, you could go down on Ursula the Sea Witch from the side or from behind, or it could be a thing like a buffet with many of your friends.
Okay.
You know, I don't know, man. There's something there. I don't want to Google it because we're late in the episode.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking somebody's done something with that.
I opened an incognito window and I typed www and then I closed the incognito window. I was like, I don't need to. I don't need to do this. I don't need that on my conscience.
Evil into my life.
I do not need to stain my soul by looking up Ursula Cunnilingus buffet.
Yeah. I'm just very curious.
Yeah.
I wish people chew on that if you're if you're looking for something to think about.
I think you were chewing. You're doing it wrong. I don't know that that's the preferred method.
Depends on a sea witch might be more
okay
tough.
That might be more into it.
It's okay to get a little nibble in there sometimes.
Thank
you for listening to this. If you like this show, go to patreon.com/darkfeedtv and surprise me. This is a weird episode.
Yeah.
So if you like this show, surprise me. and then otherwise, leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go to patreon.com and demand episodes like our friend here, Zumbini, did. That feels like it was years ago that I said Zumbini and we talked about that. Primarily because I think the concept of Ursula Cunnilingus aged me. I have entered some kind of vortex. So
how are you going to de-age?
We could listen
to some Billie Eilish.
Yes, I can. Ooh.
Yeah. There we go. Until next time. So you still have to sign off even if you haven't asked for more.
I do. Yeah. Until next time, quack, quack, motherfuckers.